Brothers and sisters, we have entitled this series Down to Earth because this section of Matthew that we're looking at actually follows on from Jesus' teaching on the mountain. So now the disciples have come down with Jesus from the mountain, and they're experiencing not just the teaching of Jesus, but the reality of what it means to actually follow Jesus. I want to just start by giving you that perspective on the series. I also want to start by saying congratulations on for those who are actually here physically. Your resilience is marvelous. I'm encouraged by your presence. I hope you're encouraged by one another's presence. But we also understand that many people need to and are taking precautions in the present circumstances. And so to you who are listening online, thank you for joining us in that way. We do hope that this is going to be helpful for you as well. Let me now open with a quick word of prayer as we come to God's word. Our Father in heaven, thank you for Jesus, that he didn't just teach his disciples, but he took them with him, that they learned by experience what it meant to follow him. And we pray, Father, that you would give to us that same experience of what it means to truly follow Jesus. And teach us this morning, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, the passage that we come to in Matthew chapter 8, starting at verse 18, if you have that open, that will be really helpful for you, is a passage where we learn that following Jesus is not a matter of being conservative. Actually, you cannot be more radical than to follow Jesus. In particular, Jesus asks us two things. He says to us that he must be our only security, and secondly, that he is to be our first priority. Our first priority, security and priority. Let me illustrate those two concepts for you by way of marriage. Just imagine for a moment, and I'll speak to the girls for a minute here. Just imagine, girls, that your future husband, not the present husband, if you're married, but your future husband felt secure in his parents' home where he was living comfortably. He wants you to be his wife, but he does not want to leave home. He's quite happy for you to come and join him in his bedroom at their home. It's not going to work, is it? He's finding his security in the wrong place. Or supposing he feels obligated to spend every weekend with his friends and not you because, well, they're his mates. They've always been his mates. And again, that's not going to work, is it, either? Because at that point, what you realize is that you're not actually his first priority. So by way of illustration, we're just talking about where do we find our security and what is our first priority? Those are the two issues that Jesus is driving at in our passage as we look at it today. Of course, it's not about marriage. It's about being Jesus' disciple. It's about following our Lord and Savior, about trusting him and putting him first. A scribe came up and said to Jesus, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." It was a challenge. What if following Jesus meant that you won't know where you're going to sleep tonight? What if that was what it meant? Jesus will look after you. It's a radical trust. It's not a trust that we often exercise, because it's far easier to trust in the purchase of a home and paying off a steady mortgage. Another disciple came to Jesus and said to him, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." What if following Jesus meant leaving your parents and siblings? What if it was actually a choice? It's not a choice we would often have to make, but what if it was a choice? Jesus or your family? Perhaps even Jesus or your spouse and children. Radical priorities. It's not a choice that we often have to make. But how would you go if that was the choice that you needed to make? You see, following Jesus is not just about the following. Following Jesus is also about what you're prepared to leave behind. And he wants us to leave behind anything that would prevent us from belonging wholly and completely to him. And today, Jesus is asking you to look at those things which you might rely on for security, those things which bind us with worldly obligations and we make priorities. He wants us ready to give them up so that we're prepared to follow him. And that's what his disciples did in verse 23, where we read, "And when Jesus got into a boat, his disciples followed him." His disciples followed him. It's very deliberate language. What we have here is a picture in what follows in the activities that actually happened. It's a parable which is actually acted out for us of the teaching which Jesus has given. In other words, the disciples are leaving behind the security and obligations of the world, represented by the land upon which they were standing. And Matthew's giving us a picture as they follow Jesus of what it means to actually follow him. It's an acted parable. So we're going to have a look at those two things. Jesus, our only security, and Jesus, our first priority. And then we're going to think about who is this man that he would call on us in this way. All right, so Jesus, our own security. The disciples leave the security of the land. They get on the boat with Jesus. They're about to find out what it means to depend on Jesus for their security in a very dramatic way. And where is Jesus? Well, he's lying asleep on the back of the boat. And as Jesus lies asleep on the back of the boat, what you have there is a living picture of the Son of Man who has nowhere to lay his head. See, there he is. Foxes have holes. Birds of the air have his nest. Where's Jesus? He's asleep on a plank in the back of the boat. Nowhere to lay his head. And if Jesus had nowhere to lay his head, neither did the disciples. Verse 24, "And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves." But Jesus was asleep. Now, Matthew literally describes this tumultuous sea as an earthquake under the sea. And what he's doing is he's painting a picture of dire circumstances with a real possibility of death. And there is Jesus in the midst of it, serenely trusting his Father. And that is what he expects of his disciples who are following him, who, just like him, have nowhere to lay their head. You see, the boat, there is nowhere for them to lay their head, is there? Now, of course, the disciples didn't quite get it. Verse 25, "They went and they woke Jesus, saying, 'Save us, Lord, we're perishing.' And he said to them, 'Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?'" Now, you remember the scribe had come to Jesus pledging that he'd follow Jesus anywhere. And Jesus was really asking him, "Will you? Will you really? What if it meant you had no home? Would you trust me and follow me then? What if you found yourself with me in a boat in the middle of a terrifying storm? Would you trust me then? Or would you rather the security of a warm bed and a soft pillow?" And when Jesus asked this question of the scribe, friends, he put his finger on our situation exactly, didn't he? Isn't this us? Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Are you sure you really want to follow Jesus? Would you be prepared to let go those things which you rely on for your security? Would I be prepared to do that? It's fascinating to me that Leha just read this passage for us. And Leha, forgive me for mentioning you, because it wasn't anticipated. But Leha is a person who has spent many, many years in mission service, not with a specific organization, but in Southeast Asia, simply telling people the gospel and being in Southeast Asia for that purpose. And Leha, you're a living illustration of this passage, and it's wonderful that you were the one to actually read that passage. You might want to talk to Leha afterwards. Verse 26, then Jesus rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And at this point, we have it right in front of us. Jesus is a person that you can trust for your security. You see, just imagine the sea for a moment. The raging winds and the waves are gone, and instead imagine, please go on this little journey with me in your own mind. Imagine the lapping of the water suddenly. You know that sound of the lapping of the water against the hull of the boat? And imagine the sea like a mirror in the early morning sunshine, reflecting the mountains sitting behind. There is nowhere more secure than the arms of Jesus. That's the message here. You are never more secure than you are with Jesus, not even if it means dying for him. Now, this was, of course, the lesson that Israel had to learn in the Exodus, was it not? They were slaves in Egypt, but at least they were secure in Egypt. They had leeks and gherkins, the food that they enjoyed. Out in the desert, where Jesus led them to, what did they find? They found themselves without basic food and water. They had to learn to rely on God, on water from the rock and manna from heaven. See, our problem is that we want to put our security first and then follow Jesus. Well, that's the human situation, isn't it? Let me illustrate. For some of us, it's reflected in our giving. And I've heard people say this. The mortgage has to come before support for the mission. It may be that you're telling yourself that. I've got to be responsible and I've got to put these other things in front of the mission. It may be that you don't give at all for that very reason. Well, perhaps it was irresponsible of the disciples to give up their fishing nets and to get into that boat with Jesus. But what if Jesus is actually calling us to something that is more radical? What if Jesus is calling you, for example, to leave your comfortable home and go on mission? Some of the members of our church, in fact, many members of St. John's recently have been on beach mission, going to places way outside of their comfort zone and doing things that are outside of their comfort zone. And it's a good thing to do, friends, to get outside of our comfort zone, outside of where we feel secure for Jesus. You know, the time will come, inevitably for each one of us, where we have to and have no choice but to abandon every security that we have in this world and to cast ourselves on Jesus alone. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? That time will come for each one of us. But Jesus is saying it's a good thing if you get some practice now. Get some practice casting yourself on Jesus if you want to follow him. Make him your security. Then we come to the second person who came to Jesus, another disciple. And he wanted to follow Jesus, but he said, I want to go and bury my father first. And Jesus gave a very surprising answer. Jesus denied it. You follow me, leave the dead to bury their own dead. What is Jesus' real point here? And friends, it's not really about whether we're allowed to bury our parents. That's not the point here. That's an illustration. It's saying, should the point come where it's a choice between Jesus and burying your parents? You know which one you have to choose. It's about recognizing a whole set of priorities, new priorities, which stand way above the obligations that we have to the people of this world. It's about putting Jesus first, and especially when Jesus has to compete with our worldly obligations. Those obligations are going to perish along with the people of this world, inevitably. And so we are not to be entangled by them. We are not to allow them to get in the way of our one true priority, that is Jesus himself. And that extends even to our families. So let's see how the story continues. And it brings us to the demoniacs coming out from among the graves. Interesting, they're coming from the graves. Just take note of that for a moment. Two men possessed by demons, terrifyingly powerful, and Jesus casts out the demons with a word. And it was a clear and a powerful display of Jesus' kingdom and sovereignty, fully witnessed and understood by the people of the city on that far side of Galilee. And what was their response? Because that's what we are asked to notice here. What was the response of those people? They asked him to leave. They asked him to leave. And these, friends, are the dead whom Jesus is referring to, the spiritually dead. Why? Because they are not prepared to recognize Jesus or his claims. They are bound up in their own priorities and obligations, and Jesus just doesn't fit in. Verse 28. When they came to the other side, to the country of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed met Jesus as they came out of the tombs, so fierce that no one could pass that way. And behold, they cried out, "What have you to do with us, O Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?" Now, a herd of pigs was feeding at some distance from them, and the demons begged Jesus, saying, "If you cast us out, send us away into the herd of pigs." And he said to them, "Go." So they came out and went into the pigs. Behold, the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the waters. You could not get a clearer picture of Jesus' spiritual authority. He gives orders to the demons, and they are terrified of him. Who is this? Well, we're going to come back to that in a moment. But notice the townsfolk. They get a clear description of what happened from the herdsmen, and they don't want Jesus around. Verse 33, the herdsmen fled, going into the city. They told everything, especially what had happened to the demon-possessed men. And Matthew is making a point here. They knew exactly what had just happened. And yet they begged Jesus to leave their region. In fact, they begged Jesus to leave their region because of what Jesus did. They are spiritually blind and dead. They don't recognize the King of Heaven, even when he's standing in front of them, clearly ruler of the eternal realms, with the demon-possessed men sitting quietly at his feet. And friends, where are these townsfolk people standing? Well, they're standing among, or they're standing very close to, the tombs where the demon-possessed men had come out of. Can you see the alignment here? They are the living dead, and they will bury their own dead. If you want to come out from the dead, you have to adopt Jesus as your first priority, that is to follow him. And they won't do it. They're more concerned about their pigs and about their livelihoods, and they are affronted that Jesus, a foreigner, has just disrupted and threatened their way of life. And this is the nub, friends. If you want to follow Jesus, if anyone wants to follow Jesus, Jesus is very likely to disrupt your life. In fact, I'll go a step further. If you're following Jesus, he will disrupt your life. He will disrupt your livelihood. He will disrupt your relationships. He will disrupt your family. He will impose his own priorities on you. He will ask you to marry a Christian or not to marry at all. He will ask you to put him before your work or your promotion. He may call you into a full-time ministry capacity of some description or some sort of other ministry, possibly part-time. He will ask you to spend your time involved in ministry and service to him. He will ask you to do things potentially against the objections of parents and family and friends. He will test your priorities. And at some point, you will need to say, against the objections of people who possibly love you, let the dead bury their own dead. I will follow Jesus. And you must be prepared to say that. And then I think Jesus is actually taking it a step further. I believe he is saying, you must be prepared to say that and not even to grieve, but to step out with faith in Jesus. So what did Jesus do when they asked him to leave? Chapter 9, verse 1. And getting into a boat, Jesus crossed over and came to his own city. Again, very careful expression. What was he saying to those people who had rejected him? The people on that far side of the Lake of Galilee, he was saying, you want me to leave? That's your funeral. That's the way we would express it, isn't it? Let the dead bury their own dead. That's your funeral. There comes a point where you just have to say to people, it's your funeral. I'm sorry. I have other priorities. And that's what's symbolized in Jesus getting into the boat there. Now this brings us to the final question. The final question is, who is Jesus that he could ask this? What sort of a person asks this of other people? And you come to Jesus as you get in the boat, ready to trust in him and ready to make him your first priority. That's when you will actually see who Jesus really is. It's the followers of Jesus who will understand who Jesus truly is. See, what did the disciples ask when they saw Jesus turn a storm into peace and calm? They asked this question, what sort of man is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. And what answer did they find? They found it on the lips of the demons, but it was no less true for all of that. What have you come to do with us, said the demons, O Son of God? The demons knew who Jesus was. They didn't have to ask, what sort of man is this? Because in the spiritual realm, it's plain. It is only in the human realm that men and women blind to spiritual realities ask such questions. This is none other than God the Son, eternally begotten of God, who was with God in the beginning, and who was and is and always will be God the Alpha and the Omega, God the creator of the heavens and the earth, who made man from the dust and breathed his spirit into us. That's who it is. But that wasn't all they knew. The demons actually knew more than that. See, what have you come to do with us, O Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time? Now that's an interesting phrase, isn't it? Before the time. What did they mean? Well, they're talking about the final day, the day when the devil and all of his demons will be cast into the lake of fire, along with all of their followers. No wonder they are terrified. Surely, they think, that day has not arrived yet. And no, it was not yet that day. That day is yet to come. But both Jesus and the demons knew full well That day is coming. In the meantime, yeah, go into the pigs. And so the disciples hear directly from the spiritual realm the answer to their question, what sort of man is this? And he is the Christ of God, the very eternal Son. And that, dear brothers and sisters, is why you can trust him. That is why you must make him your first priority. He is your only real security, and he boldly claims your full allegiance and priority. But here's the thing to observe. This revelation as to who Jesus is, well, it is for those who go on that journey with Jesus to trust him and to follow him. Those who will not make the journey don't find out the truth. And it's an expression of what you read in Psalm 34, verse 8, which we're going to finish with. Psalm 34, verse 8 says, O taste of the Lord, and see that he is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Now, there's a little parable in this. That is to say, you have to taste before you can experience. Right? You imagine an apple. How will you know what the taste of an apple is if you don't take the first bite? It's impossible. And Jesus is saying, you have to follow me. You have to be prepared to put yourself in my hands. Then you will find out who I truly am. The disciples had to get into the boat, or they would never have seen the glory of Jesus. They would never have been terrified by the storm, and they would never have seen Jesus still the storm. They would never have experienced the calm, and they would never have asked, what sort of man is this? If they had not got into the boat, they would never have seen the demoniacs charging down from the tombs, nor would they have seen the terror of the demons in the presence of Jesus, and they would never have heard Jesus' title from their lips, Son of God. Taste of the Lord, then you will see that he is good. Don't worry about what you're leaving behind. All the security in the world is not as secure as the arms of Jesus. And yes, he will disturb you. And yes, you will be disturbed. But he is good. And you can trust him. So put him first. Will you pray with me? And Father in heaven, we thank you for this teaching of Jesus and for the wonderful way in which we understand it so much more clearly through what actually happened with those disciples on the sea and with the demoniacs. And Father, we pray that you would help us, for we are people of little faith. Help us to put our trust in Jesus and know that it is only in the arms of Jesus that we are truly secure. Please help us to make him our first priority and to follow him so that we may see that he is good, that we might taste of the Lord and know the wonders of his love. So, Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.